The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new. So step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's off to a good start today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing super. Really enjoying that biscuit drop there, thrown in there by Kieser. Really,
I'm sure you are.
Appreciate that.
I'm sure you are.
I am.
Kieser, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing good. Joe, I did not add that. That's not my doing.
Who did that?
I didn't cut that either. Chase probably did.
Wow.
Chase is just meddling with our show?
I guess so.
Just kind of, we just wake up and all of a sudden Chase is throwing in me screaming about a biscuit.
I mean, he did Batman and Robin with that asking too, so.
He what?
The Batman and Robin part of the open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we? Is it Chase or is there somebody else at this place?
I didn't do it.
Doing rant? Is it Stilly? Stilly's
trying to. Do you think Jared's capable of doing that?
Yes, I think
take us down from within. Yeah, I think so, right?
He cuts his own audio, but I don't know if he makes promos.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe.
Kieser. You think Stillman's even remotely capable of something like that?
What are you trying to say there, Kieser? I think your feud with Stilly would be, I think.
I don't have a feud with Jared.
It's getting better by the week. I like it.
Yeah, it's developing.
It's good. It's good news. We need more feuds with Stilly. We got a lot to get into on the program today. We'll be joined by Adam Vingan at 7:30. Get his thoughts on the Predators season coming to an end. And Willie Donick will be with us for the entire 8 o'clock hour today. We'll go through kind of the state of the Nashville Predators with him and what could be coming this offseason for the local professional hockey team. So looking forward to that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We begin, however, on the Tennessee Titans. Zay Jones, wide receiver, formerly of both the Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars, apparently visiting Tennessee Titans, not the Predators. He's not playing hockey. Visiting the Tennessee Titans yesterday for visits. That means Tyler Boyd has come in there. Now Zay Jones, that we know of, has come in there. So the Titans clearly are taking a look at some veteran pieces at the wide receiver position to try to add to that group. And we'll see if they end up with one of them. We'll see what happens on the wide receiver front here. But clearly the Titans are taking a pretty good look at wide receiver, trying to add to the room and seeing what that could look like for them. What do you make of Zay Jones and his visit with the Tennessee Titans?
Well, it tells me, I think, that they're, you know, pretty serious here about adding a receiver. And I guess you could have just taken that from Tyler Boyd visiting, but I feel like you stack a Zay Jones visit on top of Tyler Boyd, and it's like, okay, so they're pretty, I don't know about resolved, but they're serious. They're serious about adding to the room and, to me, I guess, establishing a clear third receiver and having then, you know, three proven NFL veterans as their top three receivers, and then kind of after that, see whatever happens from there. So,
yep.
I mean, I personally like Tyler Boyd better than I like Zay Jones, but it's not like, I mean, I think Zay Jones actually did better in Jacksonville than I anticipated.
At least the first year.
Yeah, yes. The first year. The first year was a nice, you know, 82 catches, 823. I mean, it's only 10 a catch. Last year, banged up and things like that and limited. And it's the same sort of thing with both guys. I mean, you're not talking about – I mean, you're talking about, you know, kind of limited explosiveness, but guys who are able to, you know, get open, move the sticks, make some plays.
What stands out to me about these two, obviously, Tyler Boyd, Cincinnati connection with Brian Callahan, Zay Jones, Jacksonville connection with Nick Oles. So these are guys that they're very familiar with. Does that mean that they're, you know, I don't think it's like some courtesy visit that the Titans are giving both these guys. I think there's legitimate interest there from the Titans. You know, I think what it tells me more than anything is I don't know that they want Treylon Burks as the number three wide receiver heading into the season. I mean, that's to me, and I could be wrong about this, but to me, if they were like really super excited, oh, Burks, yeah, he could be like really good. I mean, they could be a good number three. Then I don't know that they'd be doing this. Now, maybe you just host a visit, you see how it goes, and anytime you can add depth to a room for a reasonable cost in today's NFL, you'd love to do it. So maybe it's just as simple as that, and it really has nothing to do about Burks. But me, that's the first read I've got on it, is if they were overly excited about Treylon Burks, would they really be doing this? And to me, the answer is probably no.
Yeah. And I think being overly excited about Treylon Burks would be – it wouldn't make sense. You know, we've had this whole back and forth on, I guess, what, like the size of his cheeks and pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have.
I've unfortunately, not seeking them out, seen a few pictures of him like at like a car dealership, and it's like, yeah, he looks like the same dude to me. I have no idea. I don't know. But
somebody's wedding? Yeah.
Oh, I missed that one.
I think
oh,
that's where.
Oh
was.
No! Was he at the buffet? Did he get a second plate?
No. I mean, I don't think so.
Oh my goodness!
Right.
But listen, we know a year ago he did a great job. He was in fantastic shape, and it still didn't translate to the field. So, even if all that is bunk, and frankly, I would tend to lean toward it probably is, it's still a matter of can he produce on the field and. These guys can't have enough of a sense of that. How could you really have a sense of that right now? I mean, Carthon, obviously, and Brinker, they were here last year, so they have a good feel for, like, what all went on. But, like, if you're Brian Callahan right now, even if you really are, like, you're loving what you're seeing from him every day in the building, and he is in great shape, and, wow, you can see, you can watch the film of him making plays in college or whatever, you can be excited about that. You still have to ask yourself, like, what the heck happened last year then? And so I think it just makes sense to try to, if you can, like you said, at a good cost, make your room better.
Well, to me, it's doing what you should do, which is, I mean, for lack of a better way to say it, basically proceeding as if Treylon Burks isn't here. And if he emerges, then great. Then you're in a really good spot, right? Like, if Burks comes out in training camp and – as they start to get rolling in the regular season and he forces his way onto the field, well, that's great. Like, that's a very good scenario for you if you're the Tennessee Titans. If not, then to have as many veteran options that you can to get open, have weapons for your quarterback, like, that's going to be a good way to go. So, like, to me, like, waiting on Treylon Burks is not the way to go. If Treylon Burks forces himself into the conversation – then that's great. That's the gravy we've kind of been talking about with him. But, like, I'm not really operating with my receiving room with Treylon Burks in mind. If he forces himself, great. If not, see ya.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys in particular might actually, and the draft, speak more about them being out on Kyle Phillips than anything.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I think you've got to have depth at outside receiver. People are going to get hurt. So – I would say that it's likely that at some point this season, for one reason or another, Treylon Burks is going to be on the field and probably going to have an important role just because that's how things usually go. But Kyle Phillips, I have to wonder if his days are numbered.
Kind of looks like they might be. I mean, Zay Jones, I mean, honestly, for me, doesn't do a whole lot. Now, the one thing that I guess you'd feel good about is Holes was around him in the last couple of years there in Jacksonville. And like you said, his first year in Jacksonville, I remember when they signed
his career
him,
year.
They signed him from the Raiders, and I was like, "What are they doing? Like, was that the same
they
year they did
him.
The Christian Kirk stuff?" And
yeah.
I was like, okay, what are they doing? And then he ended up with 82 catches for 823 yards and 5 touchdowns, and looked pretty good. Last year, like you said, banged up, only played in 9 games, 34 catches for 321 yards. So what is he? Like, if let's say Zay Jones is the guy they go with, what are the Titans getting in Zay Jones? I don't know. I don't think Zay Jones is going to come in and transform the offense by any stretch of the imagination. It is another depth piece to have there at wide receiver, and it probably slides, you know, NWI down a little bit. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. NWI continues to find a way on the field, so we'll see what happens there. But like you said, probably not good for Kyle Phillips. Like Kyle Phillips, if they sign either Tyler Boyd or Zay Jones, and then they've drafted Jaquan Jackson, like, he's gone. Like, Kyle Phillips, you would assume at that point, is not going to have a role on this team.
Yeah, you would assume so. And that's the thing. I do kind of separate. If Tyler Boyd came in, I would feel like, yeah, there's a clear top three.
Correct.
I would think that when it's all said and done, Tyler Boyd will get a somewhat significantly better deal than, like, Zay Jones will get.
I would think so.
Zay Jones coming in is a little bit more like, yeah, take a flyer on a guy. Right?
Yep.
And I think there's a little bit of a gap between those guys as a player. Titans fans, to me, should be more excited if they end up with Boyd than if they end up with Jones. It's almost like Jones is like their safety.
Does the fact
like Harvard was my safety.
Jones is coming in and there's been nothing on the Tyler Boyd front. Does that tell you that the Titans are moving on, or are they just keeping their options
open?
That
could be. It could be. Obviously, he comes and leaves without a deal. But I don't know what else is out there, you know. Who knows what else is out there from another team?
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins came in, left without a deal this last offseason, and then eventually came back and signed the deal. So
yeah, I would not close the door. I would think it's just he's doing his due diligence and seeing what's out there, and then gonna eventually wait. And who knows? I mean, obviously teams can come back with more. I'm not breaking the bank for Tyler Boyd.
No.
If I'm the Titans. If I'm the Titans, I look at my receiver room, and I still like the looks of it compared to most of my position groups already.
Yeah.
So this isn't – not that I would call it necessarily a luxury pick, but it's not – this isn't a dire situation. Like, Hopkins last year was like
– you needed somebody.
And that was even when we thought that Treylon Burks was about to have a breakout second season, right? And, of course, we were wrong.
Imagine if they didn't have Hopkins last year. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that'd be like
a tough one.
That would be like the 1986 Detroit Lions with like Pete Mandley as their best receiver.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What do you make of Zay Jones visiting the Tennessee Titans? And what does the visit of Jones, the visit of Tyler Boyd, tell you about how the Titans are viewing the wide receiver room right now? More of your thoughts on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Louisville. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Vandy baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. By the way, interesting series coming up this weekend between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. We'll get into that a little bit later in the week. But
number one Tennessee and unranked Vanderbilt. Did not expect that one.
Do not see that happening very often. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Zay Jones visiting the Tennessee Titans yesterday. So Tyler Boyd has come in for a visit. Zay Jones has come in for a visit at the wide receiver position. Take your thoughts on that. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, I love it. Shows Callahan and Ran are all in on finding out if Levis is our guy fast. This is from Dustin from Hopkinsville. Dustin from Nashville wondering if hasn't Kyle Phillips outproduced Burks more consistently, or is that just recency bias?
Which actually – yeah, made me look up their stats, or you looked up Burke's stats. I looked up Phillips' stats. So Phillips, what, 23 for 259, Burke's 49?
49 catches in his career for 665 and one touchdown. So
neither
one of them
has
consistently done anything.
Yes. Yeah,
except not been on the field.
Yeah, not sure the word outproduce should even be applied, but if you want to get technical, Burke's has done more. Phillips, well, they've both been hurt, but Phillips, I think, is – that's probably as big a thing as anything. And the fact that if the Titans, when they drafted Phillips, I understand it's a different regime, but if the Titans, when they drafted Phillips, if someone told them, yeah, he's going to be botching punts and actually won't be a factor in the turn game, then they would not have drafted Phillips.
Exactly.
That's a big part of why he was drafted.
Exactly. Which, Craig Aukerman's gone, so maybe take a look. I don't know. Well, Kyle, do you know how to catch punts now?
It's amazing.
Wow, got Aukerman out of here. He's catching punts left and right. Look at it.
It's weird. You know, Aukerman had me running around with greased pigs before catching, and it was supposed to be a really important drill, and it didn't seem to help me very much.
Who knows? Maybe some different coaching techniques
heading
into this season.
Give him another shot.
Special teams.
Give him another shot.
Look, I, as currently constructed, I view the Titans wide receiver room as decent. I think that's probably the way I would put it. Decent. I like Hopkins. I like Ridley. Beyond that, I don't know. But those are two very good building blocks. Like, it's much better than it was last year for no other reason than you got Ridley. Like, the Ridley-Hopkins combo, I think, is pretty good.
I think that's better than decent. I mean, I think that's pretty good.
The whole room?
Well, okay, but I mean, how many – you go around the league – you know, how many receiver rooms do you even know who the fourth receiver is? You know, I mean,
there's a lot that I know who the third receiver is, and I don't know it with this group right now.
Yeah, sure. But that's a pretty good top two, man.
It's a good top two.
So if your top two is good to really good,
sure,
then I think the room is – I'd go pretty good.
Good. Why are they looking to add to it?
Well, you know, yeah, they need more depth.
Okay.
But
that's what I'm saying.
But a room is still – the top of the room still means more than anything else about a room, doesn't it?
Sure.
Okay.
Just saying. Yeah. They got two guys.
So your depth – I mean, the depth of the room is probably not even decent. But the top two is
– top two's good.
Strong.
Top two's good. And, you know, do I have concerns about Hopkins and his age? Not yet. Like, he was so good last year that, you know, one thing we talked about with him was he was coming off the suspension, and then he had the injury in Arizona too. So it was like, all right, well, at age 32, 31, is he going to be able to stay healthy and play? And he did. He played in all 17 games. So he kind of answered that question last year, and that doesn't guarantee that he's playing in all 17 games this year. But I feel good about what I saw from him last year in terms of taking care of himself. Remember the big thing with him last year is, well, is he ever going to practice? Seems like he was out there practicing. So, like, there are no real concerns from Hopkins that you saw on that front last year. Like, Ridley, you know, Ridley has had some injuries throughout his career, both that he's played through and some that he hasn't. At 29 with a new deal, like, I love the speed that he brings to the table. And until he can't run anymore, I think the speed is going to allow him to be pretty good out there. And based on the recent body of work, he can run. He can still run pretty well. So I'm feeling pretty good about those two.
Yeah. It's so much about if you tell me right now that you're going to get out of 34 games, get like 28 to 30 games between them,
yeah,
then that bodes well for the Titans. Obviously, 34 would bode even better, but – If you're going to get full healthy season, and again, Hopkins is the bigger question there, then that's where obviously the depth of the room is what it comes into play if that's not going to happen, right? And still, like, the third receiver and just the whole, is the third receiver interchangeable? Is the third receiver someone that Brian Callahan really wants to be a slot, short space, quick guy, like a, you know, I guess more like a Tyler Boyd or more like a Kyle Phillips, who maybe still has a shot to do something with his team, maybe doesn't. Kind of looks less and less like he will.
Skyler says, it's just good to know that Callahan and Ran see what we see and agree that they need more in the wide receiver room. I do like that they're looking. And I think Tyler Boyd specifically was a guy that we kind of connected to Brian Callahan, the Titans anyway, obviously just because he was there. And you know, everybody was talking about the T. Higgins stuff. But Tyler Boyd has always kind of felt the one to me that was for sure going to be out there and available. It's a little bit surprising to me that he didn't find a deal sooner than this. He's a good player. Like, nobody's going to confuse Tyler Boyd for an elite wide receiver. But he's a good player and has been a good player in his career. So if you're asking me to choose between the two, it's by far Tyler Boyd for me, and then Zay Jones after that. But I am a little surprised that I don't know what Tyler Boyd's asking for, but that he's not come to a deal yet with somebody. I figured he would have by this point.
Yeah, and maybe that is it. Maybe there's a little – he's one of those guys you can see on his side, on his agent's side. You know, you point to the production and everything, and on the team side, it's like, man, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, great situation for you. That may be where there's a little bit of a gap in what he should be paid here. So, but I think he's very good, and as you pointed out last week. Now, it was a few years ago, but – he's had, you know, great seasons without those guys. So he has produced without them.
He has. I mean, his production's gone down sure. the last couple of years in terms of just being with those. Now, you know, this past season, 67 catches, 667 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Joe Burrow barely played. So there's that you got to factor
right.
into it, too.
A lot of Jake Browning passes.
A lot of Jake Browning passes going on out there, which, man, he came in and did a nice job for
he
a backup.
Did.
But you would wonder what that would look like if Burrow was healthy the whole year. I mean, the other part of this too is back to what I keep going to about this wide receiver room. Let's say they sign Boyd, and you have 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, you have 29-year-old Calvin Ridley, and you have 29-year-old Tyler Boyd. Like none of those guys are ancient by any stretch of the imagination, but it's still, I think, if you're a Titans fan, it makes you look around and say, okay. Well, who's the young guy? Like, where's the young guy coming up in the room that at some point you're going to have to kind of turn the keys over to? And the answer is they don't really have one right now, especially if Burks isn't going to emerge.
No, it's him or no one.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that you're right back in a situation likely where next year the draft comes around and you're like, okay, who are the wide receivers coming out of the draft? That's probably what they're going to be in next
right.
year.
Yeah. And that's why we talked so much about top of the draft this year of them possibly going there. But I think what Dane Brugler said is important, and I have not deeply explored the receiver group for next year's draft. But for the most part, at this point, you can kind of count on the like good receiver draft almost becomes redundant because it's like every draft
yeah.
is that now. So at least you kind of have that in your back pocket, knowing that it shouldn't be big ups and downs at that position like some other positions in the draft.
I would agree. I think you can feel good about being able to find players that can come in and help you. And then if it's not Boyd, if it's not Jones this year, and Treylon Burks is your three, can you get anything from him? Like, can he be on the field for 13 games? Can you get 500 yards out of him? Can you get 600 yards out of him? I mean, that seems like not a whole lot to ask for in today's NFL. And then you go and you look at his career stats, and it's 49 catches for 665 yards. So if it's not Boyd and if it's not Jones and this is the room that you're rolling into the season with, he's going to have to play. So can you get anything from him this next year? That's the question.
Yeah, and look – it is a new offense, new OC, new head coach, and it's a, well, in particular with the head coach, someone who certainly knows successful receiver play in this league, so not sitting here giving Brian Callahan credit for, like, Jamar Chase being what he is. He's a ridiculous talent, but maybe Brian Callahan can bring something that will help Treylon Burks advance in his career.
There are some that think, and I don't know that I necessarily subscribe to this theory, but I mean, there are some that look at what the Titans did on offense last year and just say, I mean, they just weren't targeting Treylon Burks. Like, why did they not throw him the football? And it's like, well, at some point you force the ball to be thrown your way if you're doing the right things, but I'm sure you can find some plays on tape where he's open and they just didn't go there with
sure.
the ball. You can find that with everybody, but like, maybe you subscribe to that theory of he'll just get the ball thrown his way a little bit more under Brian Callahan.
Well, and it's also time spent with Levis. And I feel like last year, obviously, Levis comes in and Hopkins is basically the whole passing game. And I think that they connected, obviously, like first first game, it's just bombs away to Hopkins. So I think there it got to the point where there was a little bit of a, Jess, you're going to look for Hopkins at times. Also, Levis actually had a good thing with Phillips going briefly there last year. So maybe that's part of it too, is Levis, Hopkins working together more.
More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June the 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes toward new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. 1025. Matthew from Jolton. I personally think Phillips could be a solid three if he can stay healthy. He might be able to be a solid three. The if he can stay healthy with Kyle Phillips has been a big problem throughout his career to this point. And I think Kyle Phillips' train is quickly departing from the station here with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, look, he's a very good practice player. He is super quick with his feet. He gets open. So he's like a it's almost like a, you know, a traveling, like, long drive person or something. Yeah. You hit it 400 yards or like a trick shot maker. I mean, in practice, you're like, who can possibly in short spaces deal with this guy? Like I said, there was a stretch last season where you saw it again. I think it was the Pittsburgh game, right?
Yes.
Where it was like, geez, he just gets open whenever he wants and he's getting the ball. But then he just sort of fell out of the lineup and – I think the size, the injury concern, the lack of return trustability, this staff says, all right, well, that was then, this is now. I think without that, it's hard to see him making the team. And using a draft pick on Jaquan Jackson, who I think in all likelihood has a role of returns and depth at receiver this year, kind of tells you also that they're kind of looking, you know, they're looking toward moving on from Kyle Phillips. So I think he is talented. I do. I think that he's got those feet that you really want from a slot receiver, but other things just haven't worked out for him.
I think for sure. And the offense as a whole, it's interesting because, like, if you're whether it's Tyler Boyd or let's say they get through this thing and Boyd signs elsewhere and they don't think Zay Jones is a good fit or whatever the case is, and they end up in camp with the room that they've got right now. Well, number one, how important does Brian Callahan think like a true slot receiver is? And number two, well, who's going to play it right now? Like, based on the room they currently have, if your goal is to get the best three wide receivers out there as much as possible, like, who's playing in the slot? Do you have a dedicated slot guy? Do you move all those guys around? Does NWI end up in the slot and it's just what he does out there? Like, who's playing in the slot right now if it's not going to be a Boyd coming in, a Jones coming in, whatever the case may be, if
well,
this is what they have?
If Burks is in great shape and loves the new offense and has a camp like he had last year, then – to me, I think you could definitely see some 11 personnel with Burks on the field with Hopkins and Ridley. And then whoever's in the slot is whoever's in the slot on a particular play. You know, so that wouldn't be bad. Then you're talking about size, speed, physicality to some extent with all three receivers. So I think he could make it so they don't have a dedicated slot receiver as much. I also think that if they sign like a Boyd, that's where you're like, okay, so Phillips is out. Just move everybody down a peg. And then I still think there's opportunity for Burks. They have to have, you know, you have to have more depth outside
for sure,
at the very least. And through all of it, I'm sure this staff will, I don't think this is just like some Vrabel thing. Vrabel had his favorites. Aaron Brewer is another one, but I think this staff will probably find NWI to be a reliable guy as a depth guy. And wherever you need to put him, you can put him there. And when somebody gets hurt at a spot, he can go play it.
Well, and by the way, like I'm totally cool, as we know on this program, with NWI. I just have preferred him to be like a four or a five. And if he's in that role, that's fine. Like, he can help you. Like, NWI has helped him. We've seen it.
Sure.
And he's been, to no fault of his own, like, forced to play in a role that, you know, he's probably not equipped to play, but has done a, I mean, he's done a fine job when he's been in there. Like, I have no problem with NWI. It's the pieces that have been around him that have not bumped him down that I've had a problem with for the Titans.
What were the stats we had? We had, 23-259, 49-665?
Yeah.
Okay. NWI, 94 for 1276 and 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of a difference there, folks.
It's been way more productive than those
I mean,
guys.
He's in 13.6 a catch.
That's
it's
pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
He's not a bad player.
No.
It's a, and certainly he's well overperformed what anyone would have guessed coming out of Indiana.
Keeps coming back, too.
Juggernaut called Indiana football.
Keeps getting those deals, coming back in.
He does.
Hey, he's a coach's player, man. People love him.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe Callahan will can't stand him. You know, I mean, who knows?
we've got to get this guy out of here.
This guy's way too professional and kind to people.
We've got to get him out of here. It's got to go. I think if you're a Titans fan, you feel good about where a wide receiver is right now. I think it's also exciting that they're looking to add to it. I'm interested to see what that's going to end up looking like, whether it's Boyd or whether it's Zay Jones. The offense as a whole, this is where the coaching part of it really makes things interesting here, because it's beyond just the play calling. Like, one of the things that I'm most interested to see with this group is how much are they going to turn into a passing team. And what I'm like, the modern offense, we've talked about that a lot. Like, we don't like that term. Like, it's not like the Titans are out there running a 1975 wishbone offense. But
I wish.
That would be awesome. But I think everybody would agree, with Derrick Henry gone, you're probably going to be start throwing the ball a little bit more, right? Like, you're gonna throw the ball. You've got a quarterback that you're trying to figure out whether or not he's the guy. A quarterback that's got a lot of physical gifts with his arm that it's hard to teach. I mean, and you have bolstered your wide receiver room. You do have a first-time play caller coming in for a place where they threw the ball a lot. And that's just kind of the way that things work in today's NFL now. So I'm interested to see when we get through 17 games here and we look at just the totality of it, how much more of a passing team are the Titans this year based on the previous few years here that we've seen under Vrabel and Tannehill and all that.
Yeah, I'm sure more. Also, just like with the last offense, the last coaching staff, this coaching staff, balance is the superpower of an offense, and we'll see if and when this offense can get to the point where it's scoring 30.7 points a game with a great running attack, which certainly helped set up the passing attack, but also some unpredictability and a big-time star receiver and a tight end making plays down the field to go with the superstar running back, obviously, and a quarterback playing at a super high level with a great OC. That was 4 years ago, 2020. I mean, it's easy to forget it because it got so bad the last 2 years with a complete inability to block people, which is still by far the number one issue of all of it. The inability to block people is so far beyond, in my mind, either of any of the OCs they've had since then. You know, it's just if you cannot block people, you run whatever you want, write up whatever you run on the board, doesn't matter. But that is the model, and it's the problem with saying that's the model is they don't have 22 in his prime in this offense. But that offense also was not – it had balance. It had big passing numbers in some games too, and overall good passing numbers, and that's what you're looking for. So it's almost like – I mean, the passing personnel – of course, the quarterback is the biggest question, but – the passing personnel seems ahead of the running personnel, but I think that they have good running backs to have that kind of balance.
What was interesting was their passing attempts actually went up when Levis came in last year, and then when Tannehill was out. And I don't know if that's some grand commentary on Will Levis versus Ryan Tannehill. What you also have to
game
factor
situation.
Game situation, are they losing, all those different things. But Levis, in his nine starts, 28.3 was the average attempts that they had per game throwing the ball. I mean, it's decent
high number.
Yeah. Is that getting into the 30s this year? Is that 32? 33? Like, what's that look like with Will Levis this year? Because, look, they're still going to run the ball. They've invested in Tony Pollard. I think they're excited about Spears. And you've got kind of a two-headed monster there that does different things than Derrick Henry did. But you're still gonna want to run the ball. So, number one, here's the other thing, too. And I saw this. I was walking by in Bridgestone Arena, and they were talking about, like, the Packers secondary on ESPN. And it was, like, second fewest interceptions in the league. Only the Titans had fewer. And I was like, okay. So the Titans, can you turn the ball over a little bit more on the defensive side to steal a couple of possessions for your offense, which basically just didn't happen a year ago. Like, yeah. You didn't force hardly any turnovers.
That's the thing. The offensive line was so bad that you kind of forgot some of the other issues. And the defense was the biggest disappointment last year. And that was a huge part of it. I mean, Vrabel, I feel like it was almost a weekly thing he would throw into one of his press conferences. Like, well, it would be great if we could rip the ball away or get a turnover here or there. You know?
Paying these pass rushers a lot of money. Can't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, he had that one too. Yeah, so that's probably the receiving core is going to be obviously the passing game. Levis, it's the most important thing about this season in terms of like a big picture view, long term view, but just in terms of excitement level, I think my excitement level of just watching this defense with those corners play, it'll look a lot different than what it has looked like with the Titans.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. We'll get into the Preds in the 7 o'clock hour. More thoughts on their offseason. Adam Vingan coming up at 7:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We're going to get back into the Predators offseason coming up at 7 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Matthew on the text line says this is the first time in a couple years I have optimism about this team. It's an interesting point. I want to bring that up. So I think everybody would agree it's been a very fun offseason for the Titans, right? They've done a lot of stuff, whether it's been in free agency via the trade for L'Jarius Sneed, you get the draft, and you bring in the first two rounds two mammoth human beings and J.C. Latham and Tavondre Sweat. Like, there's been a lot going on for the Tennessee Titans. There's a lot of newness to it. I do think this is a better football team than they were a year ago. I think when you add as much as they've added, you're going to end up being better for it in the short term here next season. Now, does that mean that they're going to be a playoff team? I have no idea. Their division, I think, is really good. But do you sense some renewed energy from the Titans fan base based on Vrabel being out, a new coach coming in, and the moves they've made this offseason? How energized do you think this fan base is? Do you sense that?
Sure. I think whenever you have a new start, you have some of that. And there were Titans fans who were out on Vrabel. And, hey, at this point, I know I was wrong that he would immediately get an NFL head coaching job or you needed to trade him and things like that. So probably there's a little feeling of justification if you were one of the Titans fans who couldn't stand Vrabel. I still think he's a good coach, but I don't know. We'll see where things go for here with him. I will say it, like people saying for the first time in a couple of years, I have optimism about this team. Matthew from Jolton, I need to go back and look at your text from last camp. And we were all like, the national media, this team is winning 10 games. Get out of here. You know, I mean, a couple of years ago, they were coming off winning the division 2 years ago, were the favorite to win it, and they were up four games in the division at Thanksgiving in 2022. And then they completely crapped the bed. But first time in a couple years, you've had optimism about this team. I got to question this a little bit.
Throwing the yellow flag up.
But I get it. Like, it's after knowing what happened in the last couple years, you have optimism now about this new direction. And I think that's justified. I think it's an exciting time. You got, looks, there's plenty of coaches that sort of fit the Brian Callahan profile who have been working out in this league. Doesn't mean he will. They don't all, and it doesn't mean he will. But the path he's been on to get to this, there's a lot to like about what you know about him. And I think there's a lot to like about what we've seen from him so far. How much does, like, good press conference demeanor matter or whatever? No. I don't know. But it just seems like he's got a good balance and kind of a modern approach. And that is one thing with Vrabel. I think it's a fair criticism, is maybe at times a little bit too gruff, a little bit.
Yep.
It's almost like there's a little bit of a Laviolette thing with him, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
It's like, and by the way, Lavi up 1-0 on the Canes.
Got a good team.
And then, look, some people also, I can't get there. I don't totally get it. But some people assigned some of their frustrations to Derrick Henry and over-reliance on him. I mean, I think he actually performed at an incredible level given the circumstances around him. But 22 out of here does mean, okay, you're going to be throwing more, like you just talked about. And some people just want that. You know, you flip around on a Sunday and you're watching some of these teams throw it around 40 times and it's so fun to watch, and then your team is handing off to a huge running back 28 times. So I think that's part of it too for some people.
I don't know what the win total is going to look like for the Titans this year. One thing I feel very good about, and certainly am hopeful about, you know, the last 2 years, it's been a combination of you're not been very good and you've been excruciating to watch. Like, it's been brutal to watch them play football. I mean, you're talking about losing games 20-14 or 17-13 or 10-7, whatever it is. Like, it's been brutal to watch. And I'm hoping that even if the Titans aren't a playoff team this season, I feel pretty good about them being more fun to watch. Like, there are pieces in place where they should be able to have a higher profile type offense. I mean, they're not going to be an elite offense. I'd be shocked by that. They still have huge question marks on the offensive line at right tackle, at left tackle. What's that going to look like? So they may get out there in the fall, and it may be more of the same because they can't block anybody. Like, that could be a problem. I have no idea.
It's still possible, which is not great.
Yeah.
It's still possible.
It's still possible that's the case. But that's been, I think, the most frustrating part of the last 2 years. It's been the combination of the season totally cratering on you in 2022 and you falling apart. Last season, it just wasn't good the whole time. And throughout that whole thing, it's been brutal to watch on the offensive side of the ball. I'm hoping that's going to be significantly better this year.
Yeah. Right. No question. It just, can it be a fun team to watch? Some Preds fans are kind of going with it's just the mushy middle and every year is the same. But I just can't get there this year because to me it was a much more fun team to watch, even though the results weren't massively different in the bottom line. So I do think that's got to be some of the excitement for Titans fans. I did want to get to this real quick. Trevor on the text line, and I saw this from Mike Herndon yesterday. The percentage, it's a Jason over the cap guy tweet, but it's a really interesting stat, which is percentage of a roster from last year that are not in the NFL right now, which kind of would tell you how rough the roster was last year. The Titans are fourth most not in the league, 24.1% not in the league. Now, the number one is the Commanders, so you're an interesting company. Now, of course, the Dolphins are 25-6, and the Steelers weren't good either, but Steelers 25%. But that's a big number, 24.1% of the Titans roster last year, not right now in the league.
Is Ryan Tannehill going to get a job?
There's one guy who I think will drop that percentage down a little bit. Yeah, it's really interesting. What's
like, where's
the move?
It gonna be?
I mean, Ryan Tannehill, there's a lot of teams out there that don't have a good QB, too. And Ryan Tannehill would immediately jump to absolutely. Can we all agree on that? Like, top of the list of QB2s in the league. Clearly, he has been selective in trying to find a spot where he thinks he could get another chance to show that he should be a starter in this league, which I totally understand, but Where is it?
I don't know.
There's got to be. It's got to happen soon, right?
I would think so.
The guy's got 5 more years in this league if he wants. 5 to 7 more years in this league if he wants as a QB2.
You would think. Maybe he just wants to sit on the boat.
Well, maybe. Drink some Celsius. A little Celsius, yeah. Could be. I don't know. That's a weird one. But, yeah, that maybe he wants the – maybe he's waiting for Vrabel to get a coaching job. Maybe, you know, maybe that.
Mike.
Reunion.
You call me when you've got a job. We'll get this thing back going again.
Wait, someone says – you guys mentioned Tannehill and Levis. Did I accidentally call Levis Tannehill? Is that right?
No, when I was talking about the difference in them throwing the ball last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. That was a good comment.
Quarterback controversy.
Yeah. Well, I guess they could.
And he doesn't have a job yet.
I mean, they could bring him back. Rudolph.
Can you imagine that room?
Rudolph, Tannehill, Willis.
Rudolph, Willis. A lot of arm talent.
A lot of mentoring
going on. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Predators offseason. Lots of decisions coming up for Barry Trotz as he enters into this offseason. By the way, Predators end of season media availability today with the players and with Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz. So we'll keep you updated on all that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.